Time now for the morning line here on KMA. Nebraska City's City Council met in regular session last night and had a full agenda. And Brian Beckett, Nebraska City Mayor, is with us on the line this morning to talk more about last night's meeting. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Mike, and thank you again for having me on.
Thanks for being with us again. And one of the agenda items you had last night involved a request to create an ordinance prohibiting the idling of trains within city limits. Could you talk about why this request was made and what the situation is with this?
Well, with that, Mike, we have a resident that lives close to the tracks and is an area that on his petition request that the train engines come in and once they decouple and they change cars around, I think it's mostly to how they manage the trains going into the coal plant, OPPD's coal plant, but that they stay idling outside his residence for a while. That item with Union Pacific and another item that we had about giving a letter of support for their merger with Norfolk Southern, I actually wound up tabling last night because we've been in contact with Union Pacific, and the city administrator and myself are going to meet with their government affairs individual that works with them at headquarters to see if we can solve both of those and get more information and bring it back to the council on our next meeting. But the gentleman that filed that is aware that we're doing that and that we tabled that, and we're going to work with UP to see if we can help them find a way to keep from idling large railroad engines close to his residence.
Yeah. This, Nebraska City isn't the only community that has dealt with this issue. I know other communities in Nebraska and in Iowa have, in recent years, passed resolutions banning, for example, the blowing of train horns in the middle of the night and braking and things like that. So is this something that you folks have heard about in other communities?
It is, and we're always, but it seems to be ongoing work with Union Pacific. They've got to maintain the safety of at-grade crossings. Most crossings are passive, so is all you get is the red light. We've got several of those on the Union Pacific line coming through town, and I think we've got a couple on our Burlington line that comes through town. So, and it is a lot of residents are really close to those tracks. We have our high-rise through our Nebraska City Housing Authority that is right next to the tracks at its main crossing on Central. So when they come through at all hours of the night, Mike, yeah, we sometimes have folks that think they're blowing the horn too loud and too long, but we kind of get with Union Pacific and they do their best. It's always a balance between safety and convenience.
Is there any particular concern from the city or the council about the proposed merger between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern Railroad merger?
No, not really. Not any negative concerns at this time, but we are kind of reaching out to all of our major businesses that use it. And just, we hate to put in a letter of support. I think our relationship with Union Pacific is great, and they do work with our city on quite a few issues. But before we do that letter of support, we're just making sure to do due diligence and check with some of our major cities that actually use a lot of Union Pacific to make sure that that's the way we want to go.
In other business last night, the council discussed a proposed workforce housing tax increment financing request. What decision was made on this, and what is this TIF proposal all about?
Well, first, the decision we tasked the staff to keep moving forward to draft an incentive plan to be able to do that. Nebraska City has always had tax increment financing for other projects, businesses, development, and things like that, but it's never been geared towards housing. We haven't had that in our plan. So this would gear towards workforce housing, which in Nebraska, the statute now says it's about basically a home of $300,000 at the max. The Nebraska Department of Economic Development has pushed that up in some of their other policies to $350,000, but statutory right now it's $300,000. But this would give us the opportunity with multifamily or single-family resident, a developer or an individual wanting to build, if they needed to get over that hump on putting together their finances, they could come to us for tax increment financing. So the increment would be the difference between that lot sitting there that's being taxed right now and just a vacant lot against the assessed value of what their plans would be assessed at what the lot plus billing would be, and then we'd work with that value for them to be able to use the increment to take out a loan to where their property taxes would go towards that max term of 15 years. So it basically allows housing to be part of our redevelopment plan, which previously it wasn't. So there was some skepticism on the council by some of the commissioners, so proceed ahead and put more details to it and then bring it back and let us look at it.
Also on the agenda last night is a request regarding the official recognition of the formation of the America 250 Committee in Nebraska City. How many people are on this committee, and what is the city looking at basically to celebrate the country's 250th birthday coming up next July?
Mike, we kind of look at this back as like Nebraska had their sesquicentennial celebration, and we had a group of folks come together and form a committee and run a bunch of events. So this is no different. The committee had actually started meeting several times and then came to the city to be recognized as the committee. It's got individuals from Arbor Day Farms, Economic Development, the Chamber. So it's about eight folks that have been meeting now for 2 or 3 months that come the turn of the year want to put together events for the city to specifically recognize 250 and to also do things like how we dress up the city in recognition of our 250th anniversary. So we did vote to recognize that committee as our city's committee. So going forward, they, of course, would be able, in the city's name, be able to put in for grants and funding and things like that. And then hopefully other folks who had ideas or things would come forward, and they'll put together a slate of activities and recognition, decorations, banners, things like that for the year. And then we'll probably kick it off at the turn of the year with a proclamation that'll kind of lay it all out on as to how things are going to happen in 2026.
Also, council took action to submit a grant request, or at least that was on the agenda, to submit a grant request for $56,000 to supplement an insurance claim funding to replace the roofs of the house and barn at Wildwood. What happened here?
Well, Mike, for those who don't know, Wildwood Historic Period House is a very old structure that we do. I have a bunch of ladies that dress in period and take folks through touring that. And unfortunately, that's still got the old wood shake shingle roof on it, which makes it tough to insure, and it also makes it tough to keep the critters out. We've got some raccoons in that area that seem to be really adept at lifting off the shingles. So there are some new products out there that you can take a historic building like that and make it look period historic. So the problem is a roof like that costs a lot more money. So when we take from the hail damage needing to replace that roof, what we got as far as payment on that to try and increase the quality of that roof, we're just asking for that grant to put a new, more solid roof on it other than shake shingle, but that would look kind of like that. So it's an expensive roof, and we're going the route of asking for a grant to close that gap to be able to put a better but historic-looking roof on that old structure.
When do you expect a word on the grant award for this project?
I think with that, we should know within a couple months that we have that, Mike.
And what agency are you submitting this to? I think I missed that.
It's one of the two or three family foundations that are here in town, right. You know, the Worth or the Steinhardt.
All right. Well, we thank you very much, Brian, for being with us this morning. Our time is up, but we will talk to you in another couple of weeks or so to check in on things in Nebraska City. In the meantime, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure to talk to you and your folks out there.
That's Nebraska City Mayor Brian Beckett on the Morning Line on KMA.